Good morning, Ottoman. I watched you arrive this morning. Some joy-filled and smiling, others reflective, some far and in places of distraction, perhaps even hurting. Each arrives to hear of our Lord from this book, by His Spirit, tuned to our personal needs and His voice upon our lives. This too is an utter miracle that the Helper would speak to us directly, personally, where we are. Such belief makes us distinctly Christian. I want to invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We, of course, continue walking through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Last week, covering Ephesians 6, verse 1. This week, we'll continue in Ephesians 6, verse 2 and verse 3. Paul's words read, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." I have a simple thesis this morning. Christians should lead the way in honoring others, most especially our parents. The church in Ephesus was a primary focus of Paul's ministry. He lived there for more than 2 full years. From his deep love for the people, he writes a letter to those that are faithful in Christ Jesus that he had lived among. "Keep going," he writes. "And remember, we have great spiritual blessings in Christ. We have received grace through faith in Christ alone. We are one in Christ. The gospel we cherish is indeed a mystery. The church is given a structure for leaders and authority. We must pursue unity in the body of Christ. It will not happen by happenchance. We have indeed received new life. We are to walk in love, being kind to one another. And there is a family structure that is prescriptive in nature, that stands in contrast to darkness. All important themes, all foundational to the church and our Christian heritage. Paul wants us to know them and trust them, to employ them. And this morning we continue in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 6. As we begin, we see in most of our translations the word honor. Paul quotes almost verbatim from the Ten Commandments. This is his natural inclination. Exodus 20, you know them well, the Ten Commandments. And in verse number 12 of that chapter, we read, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." The Greek word is spelled, transliterated, T-I-M-A-O, timao, appears some 20 times throughout the Old Testament, 21 times in the New Testament. It means to show high regard, respect, to count as valuable, to esteem, revere, to honor. To honor is the word that we see in most translations, and that means to recognize worth. And if a child, to recognize the validity of the parent's role and their authority. The bestowing of honor does not happen without intentionality. The verb is in the present imperative, meaning this, that it must not only be heeded a single time, or even within a single season, but that it means to always be honoring. I take this to mean always, and for a lifetime, and beyond. We need to stop right here and say a few things. The Bible is indeed a book of authority. To honor accepts the reality of God-ordained authority in our life. Our society is not very big on authority. Just look around, especially at any evening newscast. And what you shall see is not just children and teenagers or even 20-somethings. You will see disregard for honor across the age spectrum. Is there much respect for the authority that God has placed in His kingdom on earth, or in the schools, or in the workplaces, in government spheres? Even we might hesitatingly ask, in the church, among God's people, in the family, Christians must stand in opposition to the cultural tide concerning authority. I would tell you, I had friends that proclaim to be Christian yet rail against authority in the church and government too. Remember the Jesus Movement people of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and their rejection of the church and God-placed authority? You can't tell us what to do, they said. We're Jesus people. My friends are those kind of people. I have learned that just because one employs the name of Jesus, that does not necessarily mean they hold to the same faith, or, sadly, may even be counted among the faithful. The teaching of the Bible stands in contrast to the rejection of authority, calling such men ungodly in the letter of Jude. We Christians must walk differently. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 records it this way: let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. As you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic called COVID-19. As you will remember, Audubon Baptist was among the very first churches in our city of Louisville, in our region of Kentucky, to heed the governor's request to cancel or delay services. We were among the very first, in advance of so many Facebook postings that would come over the following week. And in the end, despite politics, it was really not that difficult of a decision. Dan and I decided together that we would obey Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Of course, these days we walk believing and anticipating we shall all be back together soon. Our prayer remains such. But who could have counted the blessings that would come upon God's people through this season? A season not anticipated nor desired. Together we have become more intentional in prayer. Together we have learned how to love one another through different mediums. On the conference call, being one of our most preeminent, we thank God for these tools that He's enabled us to use. But we do long to be back together. To those in the sanctuary, once again, good morning. Concerning authority, there is a beautiful story about Queen Victoria. If you have been in the news this morning, you have seen that Queen Elizabeth celebrates her 25,000th day as the Queen of England. 25,000 days. It was her great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, that had the next longest reign. 63 years the Queen Victoria reigned, only surpassed by her great-great-granddaughter. Victoria, if you know the story of her faith, was keenly Protestant in her sensibilities and zealous that her position of the head of the Church of England gave her authority to speak such matters. The Queen frequently attended a Bible study led by one of her footmen. Let me pause there to ensure that you understand the term footman. No, it doesn't mean foot massage. It means this. The footmen were those people that ran alongside the Queen's coach, guarding her from people as she maneuvered through the crowds, running up ahead to the destination to make sure that everything was set for the Queen's arrival. They were always, quote, on foot. One evening she asked her footman, leading her Bible study, "When do you think the Lord will return?" The footman was perplexed and told the monarch that the Bible gave no specific time for the Lord's return. So we should always be ready for his return. Good instruction from the footman. At this, the Queen said, "Oh, I do hope that the Lord returns during my lifetime. I should love to lay at his feet my crown for the United Kingdom and Empire." Wow. Victoria recognized, like few others, the rightful authority and honor of Jesus in her life. If you want to honor well, love Jesus more. Paul's message is hinged on an ear tuned to the Spirit as the fuel that powers honoring. Make note of chapter 5, verse 18. Bestowing biblical honor always, always, beloved, means making much of Jesus. We next see the phrase, your father and mother. The apostle writes, honor your father and mother. The family is the building block of culture, and it is within the family that lifelong believers are incubated. What gets practiced within the home gets dominoed outside of it. Honor of father and mother in the home is the very foundation upon which all other faith honoring rests. We note that the honor is due to both parents. Honor your father and mother. Paul is addressing a society where the father was deemed above reproach. It would make sense to me that Paul would continue then, espousing patriarchy. Yet Paul intentionally pulls up. He pulls up the wife and the mother and places her equally in a position of honor with respect to the children. We see the uniqueness of the biblical family and the complementary nature intended for marriage. Yes, the father by all means is deemed to be the head. Yes, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And yes, too, the wife is to submit to her own husband. Yet, children, honor your parents, father and mother, both valued, esteemed, recognized as worthy, distinct and separate from one another, but each role indispensable in raising Christian children. One may wonder, how long is this to go on, Paul? How long is this honoring intended? And such would be a good and fair question. Taimao is also used by Paul in another context. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, in assisting the widows, he includes the idea there of showing respect, treating graciously, and meeting needs. including financial ones. Clearly, the meaning is not limited to childhood. Again, the nature of what honor entails may change, but the principle shall remain. Paul continues, this is the first commandment with a promise. In verse 3, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Paul quotes from the Old Testament, but he does stop short of the last portion of that verse. In Exodus chapter 20, that the Lord your God gives you. Of course, that promise in that day was specifically given to the people of Israel, a people sojourning and without a homeland. It was a promise that offered hope, defined continuance of blessing and abundance, and perhaps most importantly, a faithful continuance of the faith. All of these incredible promises. Yet we know the story, an oscillation of faithfulness to naught, with corresponding blessing and curse from a father who expected obedience. Amy Jo and I have been within the last year in that part of the world. You can feel the tension that exists there between the people of Jewish faith and the Palestinians. And yet both rightly, to some extent, claim the same land. Of course, the Jewish people, when they were faithful, were given that land by the Lord their God. When not, the land was removed from them and given to another. Thus, both people groups have enjoyed time on the land. The complexities involved are beyond understanding. The promise was there for the Jewish people all along. Obedience waffled, and the people suffered when disobedient. How do we reconcile these type of teachings in our own lives? When we're in trial, for instance, do we look inward at potential for identifying places in our life where we might be disobedient? I hope you do. It's a very good characteristic for the believer growing in Christ. We see this phrase, to live long. Now, this phrase does not mean that you'll live to be 100 years old like our brother Ray. Not at all. Paul was stating a principle. When children obey their parents in the Lord, remember, we're talking about parents that are faithful saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way back to chapter 1. Those children will escape and avoid much sin and danger in their life. Things that logically and rightly could threaten, shorten, or ruin their lives. The blessing aspect of this command is wonderful. And it's absolutely true. But it does require adherence to the word in real and tangible ways. Not mere words, not eye candy, but real and tangible obedience. I like to share some of the best, most challenging thoughts that I've heard of way of honoring. Of course, I seek to grow in my honor of my own parents. I also seek to honor more fully Amy Jo's parents. I once had a leader that I worked for, CEO of a large corporation, 12 billion with a B. I was in a meeting where some of us young leaders were considering latest ideas that we might implement to drive the business forward. This CEO listened for a few seconds and then cut in. He was, after all, from Manhattan, New York. And I quote, "There are no new ideas. Steal the best ones and put them to work." Well, I've been trying ever since. Here are some good ones to encourage us in honoring well. Point being, honoring one's parents especially as they age, is sacrificial. 1 Timothy chapter 5, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially members of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Paul hits us right between the eyes, right where it matters. We are to honor our aging parents in practical ways, including financial, as their ability to do so lessens. It is clear from Scripture that we are to do this in the latter stages of their lives. The complexities involved in these decisions are certainly beyond our time, frankly, my experience, and certainly this text. But what we shall say with confidence is this: our aging parents deserve our love and respect, our honor, and our sacrifices too, in ensuring that they finish well. I won't say the name of this particular Christian sister in my life, or else I would get very emotional, but I have a friend in my life who is one of three sisters. As their mother began to age, it became apparent that she was struggling with a disease that we know as Alzheimer's. The family funding was limited, and so thus the sisters in this family and their husbands and their children decided that to caretake for mom in the latter stages of their life, they would each care for her 4 months a year. Mom entered into the cycle where she would spend 4 months with one family, and then they would lovingly transfer her to the next home and next home for the rest of mom's life. This example is beyond words to me. This is an example from a sister that I love, that laid down her own life to honor her mother well. Make no mistake, our parents are honored when we care for them, when we take what they have offered us and return their gift with eager willingness, when we honor. And she would tell you that this was incredibly beyond difficult. But oh, praise God, the sweetness of the memory that lingers. I would tell you too that honoring one's parents is life-giving. Mark Twain once said, "It's better to deserve honors and not to have them than to have them and not deserve them." Pretty good for a guy making his way through Kentucky. And this is true enough. But what if you could not only make someone's day, but what if you could affirm their life and the value of life? What would that be worth to you? Honoring one's parents is life-giving. As you're quite aware, our family is passionate about a far Eastern Asian country that have delivered two beautiful children into our midst. Several years ago, China instituted laws and fines requiring their children, adult children, to visit their parents. Let me read that one more time off of my notes. China instituted laws and fines requiring their children, their adult children, to visit their parents. Because of the one-child policy and a clinging to state-sanctioned atheism, China faces difficulty in caring for its aged population. Without a government program such as Social Security, there's simply not enough children, protege, to provide care for the parents, the elderly. The elderly are being increasingly abandoned. What I find interesting is that the elderly parents in China are now suing their adult children for lack of support. You might rightly run in your mind to financial support, but that's not at all what they're suing for. They are suing for the lack of emotional support. It's not financial per se that generates the most hoopla. It's the absence of genuine care and respect, taimao, or honor. Since the early 50s, China has stolen from themselves, let's say, 20 million children a year. Last week, I got quite emotional about the topic of abortion within the U.S. Understand, beloved, this is approximately 20 times the number of abortions that occur every year in the U.S. The ones not aborted have been raised, catch this, the ones not aborted have been raised to do the same. Is it any wonder the elderly are deemed a burden and cast away? The seeds of atheism have germinated and borne expected fruit. Do you think these aren't connected issues? Think again. A devaluing of life at each end of the spectrum. Connected. Circle complete. The law is intended to stress, one legal authority says, the right of elderly people to ask for emotional support from their adult children. Oh, brother, you heard that right. Brothers and sisters, we have a choice. Honoring our parents in their later years is life-giving. It is affirming of them in the latter stages of their life. Hear me clearly. Only you can do it. I see sitting back here to my right, my brother Scott Van Outer. I want to append one of the earlier sections by making note of what Scott's family did with his mother-in-law, welcoming her into the family home, having her live within their living room for the last several years of her life, caretaking for her around the clock. Scott, my brother, I thank you so much for your example. It invades my mind and it challenges my sensibilities. Much appreciated for pulling me up in these ways. Lastly, I want to encourage you. You know, we mentioned Scott Van Outer, and there's potentially no one that this will encourage more than Scott. And here comes Scott. Honoring one's parents is good for your health. Sometimes we don't honor as we should because we harbor hurt. I want to encourage you to let go, to heal your relationship with your parents, and honor them. You might say, I can't do that. They don't deserve that. They've hurt me so bad. One brother recently told me of a testimony of a prominent Christian leader. And this lady was abused grievously by her father between the ages of 8 and 18. And yet, because she is filled by the Spirit, and she is a new creation made in Christ, in the latter years of her father's life, she honors him by taking care of him. These examples stretch beyond all fleshly understanding in my mind. Fine, if you can't do it for your parents, then do it for yourself. Now you're talking, some say. And I love this research. Some of you will know that my wife, Amy Jo, is part of a cancer gene study. We've been on this road for some 12 years. And we've been encouraged every step of the way. There are some 1,000 women in this study. And the doctor that follows Amy Jo says this. And this is ancillary, and it's not meant to provide medical advice in any category, but they're beginning to track the things that cause cancer, trying to get farther and further ahead so that women might avoid the disease of breast and ovarian cancer. And of course, they're tracking things such as diet and exercise and how many children a woman might have and family histories. But one of the most interesting comments came several years ago from this world-renowned doctor when she said, "We just can't figure out the thing called stress." And in our research, we find an interesting observation, and it is this, that women that have positive, affirming, healthy relationships in their family seem to be less likely to be struck by these diseases. Say again. Women with healthy, life-giving, positive relationships in their family seem to be less likely to be struck by these diseases. Here is something that we can do. We can improve our relationships. We can do it. It is up to us. Isn't it interesting? The latest health research, we still can't quite get our arms around it. They're still seeking to study it, probably for decades to come. But lo and behold, it lines up with the biblical command to honor our father and mother. Intersecting such. Words like honor and living long meet evolving medical research. This book we hold in our hands, it astounds me. It is truly alive, unsearchable in its riches. Oh, if I could only obey it even more. I want you to know this. With breath in our lungs, it's not too late. It's not too late to ask, "How am I doing, Father and Mother?" It's not too late to say, "I am sorry." It's not too late to write that letter or make that call. It's not too late to say thank you for the things that we took for granted for so many years. It's not too late to ask what they need. It's not too late to ask if they're scared. It's not too late to share your faith. It's not too late to invite them to church. It's not too late to talk about heaven. Paul writes, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." I want to take a minute and speak to our elderly before we pray. I want you to know, each and every one of you, you are loved and you are treasured. Jesus himself scrambles up this thing that we call the family in Matthew chapter 12, writing, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hands towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." To those that are gathered underneath the sound of my voice, I don't know whether or not this side of glory you shall receive due words from your children. But I do want you to know, at Audubon Baptist Church, I and my brothers and sisters gathered here endeavor to make much of you and to honor you and to thank you and to help you finish well. I hope you are encouraged this morning. I hope that the Spirit is pressing something upon your mind that will drive you to action, perhaps even yet this very day, in honoring your father and mother. Let's pray together, dear church family.